Okay, Rabbi Sa in Tayyar Eden. We're at the end of Chelek Beis Perek Shishi. Day before Rosh Hashanah. Very, very, very appropriate that we find ourselves at this point. So he explains that the psukim, let's say, Vayir Hashem Lira, as Hashem came down to see. Or Vayavaya B'nei Ralekim, and the sons of God came, Lishyatziv, to stand around. Or there's a pasuk, Eini Hashem, the eyes of Hashem, Mishaitet and Mechalaret, they travel around. The eyes of Hashem are constantly on the move, taking everything in. Hashem doesn't have eyes. Hashem doesn't need eyes. Only people that need to see require eyes. Hashem doesn't need to see because nothing is hidden. So this, all these body parts, the eyeballs, all the eyes and the eyeballs are malachim. Malachim. Hashem creates malachim that the malachim should see everything. Malachim should see everything because they have to see and understand everything. So Hashem gives them the powers to do what they have to do. So they come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they relate over what they saw.
Malachim.
Even Hashem knows what the Malachim are going to tell him.
Malachim are Hashem.
No, Malachim are not Hashem. Malachim are created. How could Malachim be Hashem?
We're part of God. We were also created. We're part of God.
How could God create a part of... What does a part mean? Did God exist before there were Malachim?
Yes.
So how could Malachim be a part of God?
God took a piece of himself.
God created a part of himself?
No, he didn't create, he removed. But he didn't really remove, there's nothing to remove from him.
Right, so you have a problem. You have a problem with saying that Malachim are a part of God.
Did you say an extension?
I would say that that God constantly gives them their existence.
That's everything.
That's right. And Malachim are just as much a part of a God as we are, if you use that definition. God doesn't have parts. God doesn't have components. God willed them into existence. That's true. In that sense, Malachim are an extension of God.
Every part of our body is in Malachim.
Every part of our body is body. We have bodies.
Why are our eyes Malachim?
Our eyes are not Malachim. When the Torah says that God's eyes travel throughout the land, that means that God's Malachim. Malachim are God's eyes. He could, but we wouldn't enjoy it too much. Because if God would judge based on his awareness of everything that goes on, so then we wouldn't be here.
God is still going to judge accordingly. The difference is, instead of him seeing himself, he has other things to create, something related to him.
It makes a very big difference. It's something we explained in the previous year. That if God judges based on MS, so then we'd be worse than dead.
We would not have more.
So God created midos. One of the midos he created is compassion. The midah of compassion is a midah that God engineered it. He designed it. God designed the midah. He engineered it, and then he created it. And the midah of compassion says, be compassionate. Don't be so quick to anger. Give the person some time. Maybe he'll come around. So the midah of compassion gives existence to someone that doesn't deserve to exist. And God created that midah. And he wants that midah to say in God's ear, I use the word God's ear, even though God does not have an ear. He wants the meat of compassion to stay in his ear, give that person some more time. But the meat of compassion cannot be the only one that has God's ear. Because you can't have a world where everything is forgiven and everything is overlooked, and another chance and another chance and another chance, because then the world will never resemble what God wants it to resemble. So Hashem makes a Malach HaDin. The Malach HaDin whispers in God's ear, this person is not acting according to the way God's plan meant for him to act. This person should be removed from the world. And then you have untold amount of Malachim that they're all whispering in God's ear. And then God judges based on what they say. and he doesn't have to listen to them. He didn't have to create them. Which pasuk are you referring to? Einei Hashem, the eyes of Hashem, Hema Meshaitetim B'chal La'aretz. They spread, they travel throughout the whole world, and that's in the Navi Zechariah, Perek Dal, Pasuk Yud.
I have a question.
Okay, we're talking about the media of HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Malchus. It's very appropriate to Rosh Hashanah.
Is it in your public?
Sure. Yeah, right here.
Why does God need like an angel to so that can be like compassionate for him? Like, why can't he just not always use such harsh judgment? Why does he need to create a mouth to whisper in his ear, so to say? Like, why can't he just be merciless like sometimes and not hear all the sides of the story? Like, he can do it himself.
I made a mistake.
If the there's halacha in the halacha lemaisa. Av shemachol akvaydei kvaydei machol. The father that's meichol is covered as kvaydei is machol. There's halacha about a rav. Rav shemachol akvaydei kvaydei machol. Which is a big chiddush, because how could a rabbi be meichol? It's a bezayin to the Torah that he learned. So how could he be meichol on bezayin to the Torah he learned? So the Gemara brings a pasuk: Ki'im b'Torah Hashem cheftzai u'b'Torah say yege yema v'layla. That the Torah of a person when he learns it, it's his Torah. It's his Torah, so then he could be meichol on the cover of Torah. So father could be meichol on his cover. A rabbi could be meichol on his cover. God, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Paskins, Halacha Lemaisa, in his magnum opus, Igros Moshe, if somebody's giving a Torah shiur and he doesn't want to be recorded, but you're not allowed to record it because the Torah belongs to him. The Gemara said the Torah belongs to the Talmud Chacham, and since the Torah belongs to him, so you cannot record it, thereby taking his Torah, recording his Torah, it's his Torah, without asking him permission to do so. Ad kereka. That's just a parenthetical statement. The Gemara says a melech is different. Melech should have machal on kveide, ain't kveide machal. A king could not be machal on his covered. If somebody commits an insult, he aggravates the king. He commits an affront against the covered of the king and the covered of the malchus. He must be punished. And the king cannot commute a sentence. A king can't be Michael. Why? Because the Torah says, Sam Tasa Malach and Melech. You're supposed to put a Melech on top of you. What does that mean? That his awe is constantly upon you. You always have to have the fear of the king. So the kasha is like this. That's the Gemara. Why, you always have to have the fear of the king. So why can't the king be Michael? You fear the king, and then the king can be Michael. The Torah says, if a king can be Michael, you don't fear the king. Why not? Or he could be Michael, he might be Michael. The mere possibility, right, that the king could be Michael, means that if you're mavaz of the king, if you shame the king, if you denigrate him.
We're not talking about Michael, we're talking about mercy. Mercy is the same thing as Michael.
Yes, it is.
No, because mercy is more of like, I'm still like not like angry.
Based
I'm still
on
disappointed
what
you did, but I'm giving you a second chance.
Based on what this person did,
Mocha is forgiveness.
I know, but
any
compassion, this guy, based on what he did, should revert back to Tayu Vavayu, to nothingness.
Bye bye.
Let me ask you a question. If you saw a guy, eat something without a proper kasher sashkaka on it. And then as it's going down his throat, he disappears. Wouldn't that scare you? Right, okay. Just saying. That's, So, compassion is mechila, okay? It is a form of mechila. It's not total mechila. But we are created for one purpose. God wants us to be here. That's our own. We don't have a right to existence. We didn't create ourselves. God wants us to be here. And he wants us to be here because he wants us to be a certain way. We're not the way God wants, so what's our right to exist? We don't have the right to exist.
First he sins, right?
That's for sure.
So it comes the sword, like God says, it comes the sword. Like he sins it, but he stops right by the guy's neck. Like he's giving you a second chance and disappointing him.
That's compassion. That's compassion.
I understand that. But the person had a near-death experience, he almost died.
But that's compassion.
Same time, the person's like, oh, like he's going to give me compassion the second time.
Maybe, right. I'm just saying, but what happens if a guy knows that there's a... Every time he does anything improper or doesn't do something which he's supposed to do, there's a mishpat, there's a tribunal where there's all kinds of voices to bring up everything he ever did, and all of a sudden there's a little voice telling Hashem, well, you have to understand, Hashem should understand that he didn't get a good night's sleep that night, and he never would have done such a thing if he would have been well rested. And then you get another little voice saying, yeah, you know why he didn't get a good night's sleep last night? It's because he was doing this and this and this. And then you have another little voice saying, oh, he was doing this and this and this, off with his head. And another little voice saying, no, what do you want from him? Everyone does that, you know. I show my data, what do you want? Every single time. Could you imagine? So then that, you know, so on the one hand you have the din, which is, should fill a person with fear. On the other hand, you know that Hashem gives chances, and that's the perfect system.
God didn't hear the good voices of the Malachim talking to him. Why can't he just go ahead and see himself? Why does he have to hear from the fake?
That's what I'm answering. With the I'm answering that question because the Kaddish Baruch Hu himself, the Kaddish Baruch Hu himself is Emes. There is no Mechila from Emes.
The Malachim aren't lying to him, they're telling him exactly the way it is, so that is Emes.
Yeah, but those things are not Emes, because those are just mitigating circumstances. Mitigating circumstances are not Emes.
Emes is the guy did what he did.
A guy ran through a stop sign because he's taking his wife to the hospital, she's having a baby. Emes is that she get a ticket.
I'm not saying that God will see it and then he'll judge. He'll see it himself and then listen to all of his emissaries, and then they'll talk to him and tell him.
And I'm telling you that if God would not choose to base his decision on what the emissaries say, so then the psak would be emes.
I know. You're not answering my question.
So rephrase it. Rephrase it in a way that I understand it.
The puzzle of Eni Hashem, Hema, Mishotim, Zohar. Okay? You're saying God, it's not God's eyes himself, whatever that means.
It's God, it's Malachim that Hashem created.
Why can't it be God himself that goes to the land and sees them? And then he'll hear all these Malachim, he'll go back to his throne, all these Malachim of different, you know, Midas will come up to him and talk to him about the way it should be dealt with, and then God will ultimately come up with the Jinn.
Because, you know, it doesn't work like that. You see, you're trying to design some kind of operating system right here. A Malach is a Shliach. Hashem could have created the world in two ways, with intermediaries and without intermediaries. Hashem would create it without intermediaries, so then no one would have any free choice. And there's no point to that world. So let's get that out of the picture right now. No one would have any free choice. God creates the world directly, then anything that's in the world is exactly the way he wants it, and there's no freedom of choice. And if somebody would choose otherwise, he'd totally disappear. But he wouldn't choose otherwise, because he wouldn't be able to choose otherwise.
That's it.
Right. It's not even possible. The concept of choosing otherwise wouldn't exist. Hashem creates it that he's removed. Hashem creates it that kibiyachol, that he creates malachim that they have to bring him things. Hashem creates it kibiyachol that Hashem himself bases the decisions based on what they bring to him. This is all good for us. He doesn't have to do it that way. He's doing it that way because it's better for us.
That way isn't also a form of compassion. If
that is
God,
compassion.
If God would come down, look, and then have the angels come and talk to him, that is itself a form of compassion.
See, look, God doesn't have to come down. Listen, God does not have to come down. The whole concept of God coming down and seeing and going back up and judging is a creation of God. He created that.
These angels that are God's eyes,
yes.
They reported back.
Yes, yes, according to the meter which they represent.
Oh.
The compassion of what?
I thought these were Malachim that go, this one Malachim that sees everything. Right. God in an unbiased fashion, just straight up the way.
Right, no, no. The compassion of Malach comes back and says it in a compassionate manner. And God doesn't have to do this, he wants to do it. And that's why, you know, any Malchus which we're familiar with, either present Malchus, which is almost non-existent, this has similarities to this way of doing things.
How would a God judge? Like, each Malchus is just as great.
I know, that's something which I can't answer. Nobody could answer it. You know,
each
how God
presenting it in equal fashion.
How, you know, the Rambam says how God judges is understandably beyond our ability to comprehend. Yeah, it's impossible. I mean, it's humanly impossible.
Isn't there no model of judgment?
There is a model that represents judgment.
So God essentially doesn't actually do anything.
No, God is the ultimate judge. But there is a Moloch that his way of presenting things to God is in the way of perfect judgment.
Is it like the highest level of Moloch?
Yes.
Judge if he knows what's going on.
Let me ask you, could you rephrase the question in a way that I could understand? Why does who are you talking about? Why does he judge?
Why does God judge? You know what's going to happen.
Are you asking me that we don't have free choice because God knows everything?
We don't have free choice. We don't see what we have.
Right, so that's something which I would like to devote a nice chunk of time to that issue. And it's something which definitely cannot be dealt with within a half an hour of time. So you'll excuse me if I push you off. I'm not pushing you off for eternity. Just sometime in the winter, I'd like to give that topic the respect it deserves. Right now we're discussing God's judgment and the compassionate way that he judges us. God's judgment vis-a-vis his knowledge of what people do anyway is a separate topic. So he said that this is God treating, you know, God revealing himself to us on a lower level. I mean, the higher level would be God says that something should be and it has to be and that's it.
So really when God judges us, he's not judging us. He's judging...
It's a different kind of emes. It's called the emes meres titzmach. This is also something... There's emes, there's absolute emes, and there's emes that comes from the Eretz. It's hishlech mishamayim artza and emes meres titzmach. It's the emes which is revealed from the Sheker.
Sheker has emes in it.
Yeah, and we have to find the emes from amidst the Sheker. And in order to have a challenge, so that means the Sheker has to have the ability of masquerading as emes. If I tell you, I'm about to tell you a lie, and then I tell you a lie, did I lie to you?
No.
That's emes. So the definition of sheker is sheker masquerading as emes. And Hashem wants that.
Okay, wait, so actual emes, what are the two kinds of emes?
Absolute emes.
I know, but in Hebrew, din emes?
Emes lamita, yeah.
How do you spell that?
Emes lamita is emes with a lamed in the vav at the end, emes lamita.
How do you spell lamita?
Lamed Aleph Mem Tafav. There's Emes Lamita and then there's Emes Me Eretz.
I don't get it.
It's quintessential Emes. All Sheker has to have truth, otherwise it wouldn't have a leg to stand on. It seems to have survived all people's attempts to eliminate it. Sheker is alive and well.
It doesn't exist.
All sheker that appears to exist is an illusion because it has some truth in it, and the truth within it provides. Let's talk about communism, okay? You want to talk, do isms?
Well, that makes sense. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's not truth.
Because communism is the biggest lie on earth. Communism presented itself as the boon to mankind to heal all of society's ills. And it was the biggest evil that the past two centuries produced. So what was the emes? That capitalism exploits workers, and then there's the wealthy proletariat which enslaves mankind, and they suck out all the.
So emes is what you learn out of the lie.
No, the avodas ha'adam is to see the sheker, which is masquerading itself as emes. That's that's one direction. To be able to examine something, understand it very deeply, and see that it's really not Emmaus, this is...
The fact that you've seen it's not Emmaus.
And then the flip side, right, that's right. Exposing the Sheker is Emmaus. That's what we were created to do. And that's what it means. Hashem took the meat of Emmaus and threw it down into the ground. Because Hashem wants us to see the Emmaus. And that means to expose the imposter.
You want to see the Sheker?
To expose the Sheker. To expose the Sheker. And you can't expose the Sheker unless there is Sheker. So you need Sheker in the first place. You need Sheker. You need an imposter in the first place in order to be able to expose the imposter.
You realize the lies.
So that's why Hashem created Sheker.
You realize that you lied?
The fact that you realize lying, understanding
that there is a lie, is truth. Right. That is the
truth. That's because you know that it's not true.
That's not ultimate.
That's not ultimate truth
because ultimate truth is lying doesn't exist. It's a different form of truth. It's exposing. There's two truths.
That's how God judges us.
God judges us on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, well, if you want to get there, if you want to go over there, people can be divided into two categories. Yeah, everybody has a mixture of good and evil inside of them. There are people that are Sheker that are masquerading as Emmaus. There are people that are Emmaus that are masquerading as Sheker. What do I mean when I say people that are Emmaus that are masquerading as Sheker? That means that the true person is Emmaus, but they have like a layer on them, like
what?
A
kind of person.
It's most people. Most people are like that. That they have things which they do wrong, and it makes it look like they're bad.
The way around.
There's people that they're evil, but they have certain practices, or they manage to fool people.
So it's better to be the
first one. Judges us on Rosh Hashanah. Which group we belong to.
Well, most of us are like pretty good people, right?
I'd like to think so. I'd like to think so. But I'm saying there's an initial din like that, and then there's a sub din. Hashem, a person that's essentially good and does bad things also has to get judged. And someone that's essentially bad and does good things also has to get reward. But Hashem judges his beloved son who does improper things sometimes differently than Hashem would judge an evil person that's truly evil and just does some good things sometimes. So there's two judgments. There's a judgment within the judgment. There's a judgment what you are, and then there's a judgment based on what you are, what you get for what you did. We say every day or twice a day in Elul until Hashanah Rabbah. The David Hashem Ori V'Yishi. David's a song for King David. Hashem Ori is my light and my salvation. Chazal say Ori is Rosh Hashanah, and Yishi, salvation, is Yom Kippur. It's a two-step process. So Hashanah is called Ori. Why is Hashanah called Ori? Because that's when Hashem lights up everything and you see things in its true light. We talked about this morning. Rosh Hashanah is when you come into when Hashem opens up the window to the soul, and then you could, right. That's what the shofar is. Hashem is the one that gave us the mitzvah of shofar, and Hashem is the one that gave the special properties to the shofar to do that. The shofar doesn't do it on its own, and the window of the soul opens up, and the person could see himself. The person's lit up. And once you lit up, then you can do something about it. We don't really know ourselves. That's Rosh Hashanah.
You mean person is
we don't know ourselves. Rosh Hashanah is a time when our spirit gets stronger. Our spirit gets stronger, and then we're more in contact with the deep, deep, holy, sacred parts of ourselves. We're very, very pure, deep down. Deep down, we're very pure, very sacred, very holy. There's a part of us that's untouched. there is a part of us that's untouched by any evil. And that part becomes stronger in Rosh Hashanah. It does. And I'm sure that anybody that's ever grown through Rosh Hashanah has experienced this. You know, Rosh Hashanah is a time when you feel it's easier and you might feel a little cleaner. This is an experience which we could relate to.
What was the term for the type of truth that
Emes Minaretz? Emes Mitoch HaShaker. Exposing the masquerade.
No, when God.
Emes from the Arts.
So, how do you translate that?
Emes from the Earth, right. Emes. The Earth is a place where Sheker is possible.
It's biased Emes.
It's hidden Emes. It's Emes is covered over. In this world, what appears Emes, on the outside is a veneer of Emes, is almost certainly Sheker. On this earth, in this island, what appears Emes at first glance, without scratching beneath the surface, without going deep, anything that at first glance appears Emes, something that's popular, like a popular course, something that everyone embraces, is underneath almost surely Sheker.
What's an example of that?
Well, what are the popular things entertainment industry? Yes, the average guy in the street in America, who is the greatest man? They have these polls, the greatest man of the year, most fantastic. Sports player, usually. So that means you have popular consensus. You will get, a very, very strong percentage of people that will say that the biggest source of tumor is the greatest man known to mankind. Well, I don't know, I think in the Bishmanj we can't even mention the names of these people. And they idolize them. Idolize them, what does the word idol mean?
Avodah
Zarah. A pop idol. They use the word Avodah Zarah. And that's something which is has encroached on the Jewish world. The music industry, the entertainment industry, the sports industry. So that's Emes.
Realizing that
Sheker is Emes. If somebody wants to play sports, it's a Kodesh Kodesh to play sports.
Rabbi.
If somebody is not on the Madrigal, that he's stagging, he could stag for 24 hours a day, he needs a distraction. So under distraction, sports is not as destructive as many other ones, It's not which Madrigal you're on. But to idolize it, who has to idolize it?
Rabbi, you recognize that someone... There's two categories. A person who is fake but puts on a facade that is righteous. If you recognize that, is that Emes?
If he recognizes it, it's Emes. Yeah. Then he should cry bitter tears and that has all kinds of forms. That could get very firm, you realize. That could get very, very firm.
What?
That could get very, very firm. There's a firm Yetzirah, it's like a firm Yetzirah that causes a person to fake. And there's a guy in the yeshiva here that he grew up in a background which is very similar to yours. Good kid. And then all of a sudden, nicknamed by Ruach Tahara, and then he stopped talking Lashon Hara, which is a really nice thing. He wanted to make sure everyone around him didn't talk Lashon Hara, which he didn't have the diplomacy which he should have had to do that, but okay, did that, and he couldn't see how, he started cutting out everything he did from his past, everything, like he did surgery on himself, a guy in yeshiva, and he wouldn't participate, he did surgery on himself, he cut out the music and the girls, he cut out everything, he did surgery, And then he can't play sports. Why? The language of the guys, and he hears the language, and then it puts him back to where he used to be. And then he turned into a weirdo. I'm just saying, because there's no other word for it.
A what?
A weirdo. Strange person. And then he started growing pace, of course. That's the next step. He started growing pace. And to tell you the truth, in certain environments, they might look at the guy and say, "Well, this guy's on his way to guttlosity, you know. He's so sensitive, and he's cutting out everything out, and he's making so many changes." But our yeshiva is not like every other yeshiva. Yeah. And we are B'nai Torah, 100%. You know, we don't have any problems with God. Gedolim, that's our life is Gedolim, you know. Every single rabbi here, our life is Gedolim. But this was something which was Shekhar masquerading as Emes. I don't think I have to reveal to you the details of why, but I'm sure you can imagine, that people give off certain signals. It was too fast. It was too quick. It wasn't gradual. And the guy's cutting himself off from any outlets. Now, if somebody is capable of learning and getting simchas achayim from learning and only learning, and he doesn't need any outlets, he doesn't need a break. Because you only need a break if you're doing what you want to do. And there are people on that madriga. They don't need a break for learning because learning is the break. It's the most enjoyable thing possible. And they don't need to eat as much, and they don't need to sleep as much, because why should you take away time from learning? And there are people like that. Nowadays, there are people like that. But this guy, I didn't think was on that level, because he just started learning it 2 weeks before, and he'd never learned before. And I couldn't imagine that he had gotten that far in such a quick time. So he needs a break. He needs a break. He's not going to take a break. If you need a break and you don't take a break, you're a cruel person. And eventually, you're going to get broken. But the problem is that people that have their shaker that put on a veneer of emes, that they're masquerading as emes, so you can't talk to them. Because you tell a guy that you shouldn't go to pace. So what does he think? Oh, you're not as firm as me, and I'm going to listen to you that you're telling me I'm going to pace. Tell a guy to play basketball. He says, you're going to tell me not to do Avodas Hashem? You're gonna tell me to do Bittul Torah? So you are the great Satan. And that's exactly what happened. Oh, he's awesome. So what did I do? Do you really know what I did? Because I was committed to helping this guy. So I brought him to a Gadol. You know what the Gadol told him? And this was something that this guy was, he heard him speak, this guy was the epitome of godless, you know, this, I shouldn't say the word guy, that was a mistake. This Adam Gadol was, this bracha had heard him speak, and he had spoken to him afterwards, he got a bracha, and I said, okay, I'm going to bring you to him. That's what you do, bring him to him. Tell him to take the payas off. Play basketball. What about the music, the words? You have to play basketball. He said, you must play basketball every day, he told him. He said, you are chayiv to play basketball every single day. You must do it. I told the fucker, I said, I understood, you're right. So try and get a game together with guys that don't use such language. I'm sure you can find them. But not to play basketball, you could take the pants off. You must play basketball. Oh, where's this guy today? He's in a very good place. This master was 11 years ago. He's in a very good place. What? No. That's Shalila. That should be a school for a reason for this bacher. No, I'm just saying he's a chashuv rav now.
Oh wow.
He did make it. He made it.
Can you go to
the case tonight? No. He's a chashuv rav now. He's been learning ever since. He's been learning for like 12 years. He's a chashuv rav. Why?
Why does that make such a difference that he played basketball? Or like,
because he took a break when he needed it. And you know what? He still takes breaks. That's an example of Shechem masquerading as Emes. It's a very dangerous example, because that kind of Emes, that masquerade is powerful. It's powerful.
All these guys go to Zufrin and come back, they're like, you know, they cut everybody else out, or like, that's all secondary.
Not necessarily.
Parading around Emes.
Every single person on the face of this earth, without any exceptions, truth is, there might be one exception. I'm just saying, you know, Anashim Gedolim are the exceptions to the rule. Anashim Gedolim do not, on purpose, do anything shekher. That's the difference between Adam Gadol, a Tzaddik, a Talmid Chacham, and people that are not that way. They don't do anything shekher on purpose. If there's anything shekher, it's minute and it's inadvertent. But not everyone in this world is an Adam Gadol. Here's, we all have our shekhers masquerading as Emes.
The tefillas are
getting green. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Makavo, the tefillas of Teiva. You should be zeichet to Hashana Teiva, and Sukha, and see the Sukha Teiva.
I'll see you guys on the other side. You see the Teiva? You're wonderful, great year. I'm sure you already have this.
I can tell you're happy.
We're talking about Shri Tzaddikim. Oh. So there is a computer, you know. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu judges us like this. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's the high road and there's the low road. The high road is Hashem makes the world. Hashem is the source of all existence. Hashem wants it to be a certain way. If it is, fine. If not, poof. And then there's another track, because Hashem doesn't want to run the world that way. That there's malachim and they see things, they report back to him. That's a lower way of running the world. You realize that. Because it takes away from Hashem's greatness. Because that leads people to say, oh, Hashem needs malachim to see what's going on. That means Hashem doesn't know everything.
Part of the hiddenness.
No, when Hashem spoke to Bilam, Bilam was hired by Balak to curse out the Jewish people. Yes. Bilam was a cursor. He is. You position the cursor with a mouse. Bilam was a cursor. And he wanted to do it, but he had to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him, where are you going? What are you doing? And Bilam says, oh, some people came to me. They want me to curse out the Jewish nation. So Hashem says, don't go. So Bilam says, oh, there's things Hashem doesn't know. There are things that Hashem doesn't know. Because Hashem asked him what he's doing, where he's going.
Like,
so why does Hashem do that? Isn't it a bizarre thing for Hashem to do that? Hashem runs the world in a fashion that lowers the Kodesh Baruch Hu's own esteem. Hashem chooses to know, you know. And Bilam the Rasha didn't understand that. And Bilam the Rasha, he died a very, very painful death because he didn't understand. Well, he went to curse the Jewish people. He thought he could circumvent the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Hashem had him killed because of it. How did Pinchas kill him with a sword? I wouldn't recommend to someone that wants to avoid pain to be killed by a sword. It's a painful experience. It hurts.
Why does it hurt so much? Do you shot his head?
It hurts. And I hope that you never find out. So that's why all the psukim which deal with this process say Vayered Hashem. For Yirat Hashem does not mean that God comes down from heaven to check out what's going on. God doesn't have to do that. For Yirat Hashem means that God is dealing with the world. He's judging the world in a lower manner. It's a beautiful understanding of the Psukim in the Torah. For Yirat Hashem means that God is choosing, by his own choice, for our benefit, to deal with the world and sit in judgment in the world in a lower manner. Yirat Hashem. And we have courts. God has a court system, we have a court system. God has a kingdom, we have kingdoms. And our kingdoms also have levels to them. And there's a system. But the similarity ends there. There's no, otherwise, there's no similarity between our kingdoms and God's kingdom. But the fact that we do have different layers and levels, that is a similarity. And there's a prosecuting angel, and his name is the Satan. The word Satan is in Tanakh. Eve, there was a tribunal, a gathering of angels that they gathered together, and the Satan came amongst them. V'yavai gama Satan b'seiko. And what is the job of the Satan? The Satan is to be Tevei Adin. Of all the angels, the Satan is the holiest of angels, because he is the one that demands, that expects and demands with absolute clarity that things have to be exactly the way that God wants them to be.
That's the Satan.
The Satan has different guises. The Satan is what causes the person to sin. The Satan is the one that goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tells Hashem that he sinned, and the Satan is the one that kills the person because he sinned. It's called Midas Adin. But the job of the Satan.
Yitzhak Tov is not a Malach.
Yitzhak Tov is the person himself.
He's the holiest Satan?
He's the one that's closest to Emes. Midas Adin.
He's not the holiest. He's not a Malach like guards.
We should hope that there's Malachim that are totally tight. The Satan has an aspect of his. The way the Satan appears in this world is not tight at all. Din. And the meat of a Kaddish Baruch Hu is Hashem doesn't judge until we hear from the Satan. Even though the person's Chatayim are known to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Hashem doesn't judge until he hears it from the Satan. So what's the, we talked about the bright side. What's the Hashem doesn't judge until he hears from the Satan. Hashem knows. Because if Hashem would judge according to his knowledge, so then it's unbridled. There's no.
If the Satan comes, you can have 3 million guys, 3 million love, I'm telling you, this guy messed up for this and this and this excuse, this and that. But once the Satan comes and says, he might have had that excuse, but the fact is he still messed up here, and God, you said you can never do that, and you went ahead and did it. That will throw away the.
Yeah, because it's clawing. There's certain times when the Satan has to be quiet. There's certain times when the Satan has to. And Yom Kippur, the Satan is quiet.
Yeah?
Yes.
First time I think he'd be loudest.
No, and Yom Kippur, the Satan is quiet. Mitzvah Hashem next week, Bli Neder, with Hashem's help, with the Holy Lord's help, we'll talk about that before Yom Kippur. There's a Medrash, Asatan Mekatre B'Shasa Sakana. The Satan, his boy, he has permission to speak in the time of danger. That means someone did an avera. All he deserves to have a ton of bricks fall on him. But he's not walking under a ton of bricks at the time. So the Satan has to be quiet, because the Satan only has permission to talk at a time of danger. So someone did an avera, or he didn't do something he was supposed to. And the Satan if he had the permission to go to Hashem and say, based on what this person did, this person deserves to have a ton of bricks falling on his head. But he's in no danger of having a ton of bricks falling over his head because there doesn't happen to be a ton of bricks over his head. And for Hashem to make a miracle to cause a ton of bricks to appear and fall on his head, the Satan doesn't have a chance to do that.
So when you're on a plane, it's not that much screaming his head off.
This is what we're saying. And then there is a scaffolding, a loose scaffolding, with a ton of bricks there. And the person walks onto it. So then the Satan can open up his mouth. So that's a chesed. Because if Hashem would judge based on what Hashem knows, it would have fallen no matter what. But since Hashem does not judge until the Satan speaks, so until the Satan speaks, Hashem doesn't judge. So a person will only get that judgment if he's actually walking under the ton of bricks. If he's not walking under the ton of bricks, it won't happen.
Could there be a mach that pushes you away?
Huh? Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. I hope I'm not oversimplifying things, but we do. I would like to, you know, to break things down, and one malach at a time, please. So there's a lot of pratim, and this is a Gemara, it talks about it. So the Gemara, Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says, that Hashem judges the world 4 times a year. There's the 15 days Shvat. There's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei and Rosh Chodesh Elul. There's 4 Rosh Hashanahs. The first day of Nisan, first day of Elul, first day of Tishrei, and Tu B'Shvat.
So it's for 4 different things, no? It's for the Rosh
Hashanah. The Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah to Zion. We judged in Pesach on grain. We judged on Shavuos for fruits. We judged on Tishrei for people. We judged on Sukkos for the rain we receive. So judgment is very complex.
Was the one for Shavuos?
That's fruits. So that means that there's different times of the year where we judge on different things. Rosh Hashanah is not that. Rosh Hashanah is we're judged on what we are. Not how much water we're going to get, not how much fruits. We're judged on what we are.
And Yom Kippur we judge for next
year? Yom Kippur is an extension of Rosh Hashanah.
So what do we judge for, like, what we're going to get for the year?
It's only Rosh Hashanah, but I told you there's a judgment within the judgment. Because Hashem could judge how much rain is going to fall on your field. Or Hashem could judge what type of person are you that you deserve this amount of rain that falls in your field throughout the year. Rosh Hashanah is more personal. We're judged by how much emes we have inside of us. How much light we have inside of us.
Does the Satan show that light, or does the Satan just show the rock? That's not MS. What's the term?
MS-Lamito,
because that's just showing the rock.
If the Satan would have been consulted by Kadosh Baruch Hu whether he should create the world, the Satan would have been there saying not to create the world. The Satan's message that he constantly bombards the world of Kadosh Baruch Hu with is that nothing deserves, nothing earns its right to be here. Nothing deserves to be here. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu has other malachim.
Yeah, but he says it's the strongest, therefore he has the most say, the most credibility.
He didn't say the son is the strongest. I said he's closest to Emes. He's not the strongest opinion at all. I didn't say that. I said he's the closest to the definition of Emes. At least the Shairish, the root of the Satan, is closest. The Satan, the way he appears in this world, is the opposite. The Satan has extremes. He's a creature of extremes. The Sefer Isaiah talks, gives a mashal to the Satan. The king once wanted to find out if his son was able to resist temptation. It was important for him to know. So he hired a Zayna, and she was a very loyal servant to the king. She was extremely loyal. And he said, I want to know if my son is able to resist temptation. And she said, okay. He said, will you do it? She said, I would do anything for the king. He said, would you try and entrap him? I would do it. He said, but you really have to try, because if you don't... She said, she knew what to do. She knew what to do. She did it. And she did everything, and the son passed. The simcha of the Zionist surpassed almost anyone, because the entire time when she was doing what she was doing, she was praying, she was hoping beyond hope, that she would not be successful. And that's the Satan in this world. That the impression...
So that's how it's getting inside of him.
Yes, but the way he appears in this world, the Satan is what tries to get us to do everything bad. You know, person does not have an inner desire to do evil. Person is born naturally good.
So when the Satan reports back to God, how does he report there? Is it MS Lamido?
Yes. So this is what should be, without any other circumstances taken into account. This is Din.
The Satan reports to God as MS Lamido, then why does God listen to MS Minaret?
He wants to.
But why?
He wants to.
So does he?
Din is the din of Hashem and Rosh Hashanah is a complex combination of compassion and din. On the one hand, din. Hashem examines everything. Hashem listens to all the different ways of reporting what we do. And it's a very dangerous time. And the Satan is there. Musaf and Rosh Hashanah, when we blow the shofar, that's when the Satan opens up his mouth.
And that's the only time we can say Shema.
Right.
She reports back to the king, right? Because while doing the act, she didn't
so then
want the kid.
She is angry that the kid was not able to resist her. Anger. And then she will take the sword and kill the kid. No, not sadness.
Essentially, there is no...
Zealousness. No, it's the Satan at its very roots, its very core, is good.
It's not really good, it's more just he wants...
It's right,
God
it's right, pray. Just right. It is. It is what it is. Without any, it's very, very... The Satan at its very, very roots is very, 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 very uncomplex. So Shoshana, we have the din, the justice, and at the same time, we know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants the world to continue to exist. Rosh Hashanah, the biggest thing, the greatest accomplishment that someone could do on Rosh Hashanah is to absorb the lesson that there is a din, and that we feel with fear and trepidation that everything is being judged, and that nothing is guaranteed, and the individual survival is not guaranteed. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the person, and he says, okay, this person's taking it seriously. And I'm talking mamish down to earth now. This is the best, the most important thing that you have to know before we go into Rosh Hashanah, is taking Rosh Hashanah seriously is the key to passing through a Rosh Hashanah. This person is taking it seriously. He's not ignoring the fact that there is an angel here right now saying that he can be wiped out of existence. This person, Hashem can afford to give him time. Hashem will never ignore din.
How's it possible that people who know what we're saying now, still, they go into Russia, they don't care, like, they don't do anything, they don't pray.
I mean, if you could ask such a question, I'm very glad that you're at that level, that it bothers you that somebody can't be like that. To our sadness, there are people like that, and we can always be better.
How's it possible that they can live?
Kadosh Baruch Hu sees into people a lot deeper than you could. You have no idea why.
The thing is, Hashem is looking at the angels.
Because Walker is the final judge. Once all the information is gathered, a Kishbacher is the final arbitrator. Because Hashem gave him a chance of 4 years. The way to avoid din, this kind of scary, terrifying, the way to escape from din is to be aware that it's there, it's very real, and to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, I know what I deserve, I know what that Satan is saying about me, and on that level, it's very true, but I'm not perfect, and Hashem, you didn't make me perfect, and I want to get better, give me time. And Hashem says, okay, this person's aware. He's not fooling himself. He's in touch with Amos. He might not be Amos, but he's in touch with Amos. At least Amos is a reality for the person, and the person knows he's not Amos. He deserves time, compassion. Hashem will never forgive totally, completely. Hashem will give time. The word Rachem, Rachmanis, is Resh Ches Mem. When you rearrange the letters, you get the word machar. That's not a good way of rearranging letters. You get machar. Machar means
tomorrow.
Hashem gives tomorrow.
Or you get there.
Hopefully not.
Is that true? I just thought
that. Yeah, no, that is one of the combinations.
Crazy.
You get machar, you get tomorrow. The best thing a person could do on Rosh Hashanah is to be in fear and trepidation. To see him again. I would love to be able to say about myself that I'm capable of doing complete tshuva shlema. It's something which I'd like to do in my lifetime. There's no easy way to have it. Shalom b'zeichet to aksiv ksimetayva. Shem shirento yitvilis mitshem asiyu.